Hi there, I'm Eric Ward Weaver Shervin, Gothi of the Ridgar Folk here in East Texas, and I'd like to welcome you to the Raven's Call. This is a show where I ramble on about different heathen-related subjects, just kind of whatever strikes my fancy, sets my mind on fire at the time. Big UPG warning at the beginning of these episodes, like always, I am a modern heathen, I'm not a fluffy bunny neo-pagan, I am not a hardcore recon, I'm somewhere in the middle. I like my roots and tradition, but free growth towards the future, applied thought, synthesis, all of this. Most of what you find in my videos are from my own personal experiences, my own personal insights and research that I've done over the years. Yes, there are other approaches to how you go about it. I am not the authority on heathenry by any means, and I highly recommend that you think for yourselves and develop your own points of view, because heathenry is a tribal religion in the way that I view it, and I fully encourage people to build their tribal and hearth identities above all else. If somebody's telling you to do it wrong, that you're doing it wrong, and that you have to do it the way they're doing it, or else you're not heathen, you're probably wasting your time. They may have something valuable you can learn, but your hearth is your own. And remember, to those people you say, not your hall, not your call. So, let's go ahead and housekeeping stuff, everybody. Hit like, subscribe to the videos down below. You know the jazz. All of my contact information is down below. Please check out my book, The Saga of Bjorn Thorolfsson. It is a storytelling venture into the world of heathenry in a kind of a... It's set somewhat in a kind of arch-heathen landscape, but it is purposefully left enigmatic on the time frame and told with a kind of saga-like telling, with the intention of, you know, being a folk tale telling of some fantastic elements, a lot of family elements, because that's, you know, the key element to heathenry to me. And so it's kind of this family, and they're dealing with the world and experiencing the world through heathen eyes. So check it out. Leave a review if you have read it, please. I think I've got the same 12 reviews that I've had for, you know, like 7 months now. There hasn't been a new review in a while. So any review you can give helps. Appreciate it. So if you're looking for a way to support the channel, that's the way to do it. Link should be down in the show notes below. Same thing if you're listening to the podcast. I usually put the show notes down below as well, however your podcatcher does it, so check it out. All right, thank you guys. Let's go ahead and move on to today's subject. Now, today's subject is a viewer request, and it is not the only one of these that I've gotten, but I have to say this gentleman was probably the most articulate in his... and probably heartfelt in his request. And so I wanted to give a shout out to him without breaking his anonymity too much because of the nature of the request. So he says he watches the episodes all the time. So Kevin, if you're watching, this one's from your email, dude. Thank you for writing in. I really do appreciate it. You ever need to apologize for taking my time with an email. I read every one of them. I just don't always get back to them like I should. So I do read them, though, because I get great show ideas from them, and you guys are awesome. You ask great questions, and I love doing video episodes off of your emails. If you want to write in and ask a specific question, know that I don't have a lot of time to do research for everybody's individual questions, but if you phrase it in a way to do a show idea, I'm more likely to try and pull it together and put it into something, because then I'm doing double duty. I'm getting two birds, one stone kind of thing. So it works for me better in that format. So I will, I'll pull them and throw them in my show idea list and then come back to them as I pull up to do videos. So, all right, let's rock on. Kevin's question, of course, was what my take is on the modern alchemist, the modern alchemy, specifically with relation to medication. Alchemy, of course, being a metaphor for the modern pharmacology world that we deal with in society today. And that's a touchy subject for a lot of people, because as you guys know, I've got a background in psychology. That's where the world that I work in. And I've done a lot of research in the world of psychology, the world of medications, especially with focus on things like depression and bipolar disorder and things like that, because of the clientele with which I work. And so I've got a goodly bit of experience with a lot of this, and mental health is an important thing to me. And even I don't keep up with it in the ways that I should sometimes, and I need those reminders to kind of come back to an even keel, because like everybody, I get overwhelmed, and sometimes you know, you deal with stuff, and you have your moments. Sometimes those moments stretch on for a little bit. But so when we're talking about medications and heathenry, it's kind of an odd question, because the two things are not, there's not like a heathen view on medication, okay? Now, I know some of the big book religions and some of the more weird splinter off religions have specific views on medication, very anti-medication kind of views. Not all of them. Some of the big book religions don't really focus on it at all. It's usually subsects of those big book religions that interpret some aspect of scripture in such a way that they view it as unnatural to utilize medications. So those individuals don't even necessarily represent the whole demographic of that particular religion, rather a small extremist kind of splinter group. And so you kind of have that, they're a vocal minority, so you kind of have to take them with a grain of salt, okay? You're going to run into this with everybody from anti-vaxxers to medications and all this stuff that we're dealing with the COVID situation nowadays. And there's a lot of things that go into what we're talking about here, okay? I'm not going to get political with this, but do know that I recognize there are political influences in the world of medication. There really are. There's a lot of money that exchanges hands when it comes to medication, and so viewing medication strictly from a, from what it does and the value that it holds is not necessarily accurate in the modern era, because this is a powerhouse of economy. This is a very strong and influential world as far as the global community economically and politically. So to say that there's no political machinations involved in medication would be a falsehood. There's plenty of indications that big government moves with relation to medications in the past have not been on the up and up, and that some of them have been almost dubious in their approach and their outcomes. So again, I'm not going to get super political with this, because that's not what this channel is about. You guys don't want to hear me ramble on about my political leanings and all that stuff. I'd lose 3/4 of my viewers in an instant, because I have my own personal views that don't match either the left or the right. I don't go there. Left and right dichotomy is, I think, part of one of the major issues in the modern world. So I'm not going to get into all of that. But what I am going to get into is what medication is and how that relates to heathenry, with the understanding that heathenry itself doesn't have particular, because we don't have strictures, we don't have mandated views when it comes to medications. Like everything in heathenry is a very loose religion. I mean, the religious aspect of heathenry, when you talk about the religion of heathenry, religion is not a bad word. I get a lot of people that have baggage because of coming from big book religions to want to alienate religion and call their faith or their belief structure spirituality. Spirituality and religion go together in building a worldview, because the spirituality is in the dealing with the spiritual world and dealing with the human spirit, the spirits of the world around us, the spirit world, spirits of the ancestor, all ancestors, all of that, the Vaitir. That's the spiritual side of heathenry. So heathenry does have spirituality elements to it. It also has religious elements to it, because religion refers specifically to our interactions with the divine. So keep that in mind as we go forward. If I refer to heathenry as a religion, I may be using it as a kind of global catch-all term, but really what I mean is it's a culture. And the culture, it includes the elements of interpersonal relationships, spirituality, and religion, because these are all part and parcel of one great worldview. And so the gods don't set anything out for us with regards to medication, okay? In the time that the sagas were written down, in the times that the Eddas were written down, medication was a very different thing. It's not necessarily a thing that because medications didn't exist like they do today, there's no accounting for it in the old stories. Now, it did exist in other ways, though. When you're talking about things like herbalism, you're talking about things like alchemy, and you're talking about, you know, the chemical aspects of things prior to the advancements of science, okay? Now, we have said before that I have a very specific view on science and heathenry, and I keep coming back to this one, and a lot of people like it, a lot of people don't, because they feel like, when I venture off, let me say this for those that sometimes pop this up in the comments, when I mention things as correlations between science and heathenry, I am not saying that heathenry needs the backing of science in order to be valid. Heathenry is valid regardless of whether or not the science backs it up. What I'm saying is, science backs it up because science is a tool that the gods have given us to understand the world around us, and therefore it is a valuable tool, just like divination, just like our magic workings, just like our interpersonal relationships and everything. Science is a tool. It's a tool in the toolbox, and it is extremely valuable, and I find it interesting to see correlations between myth and science because, as I've said in my other videos, mythic parody is important to me, and I like to see these reoccurring and reinforcing factors. And yes, I know some of my videos in the past, when I've touched on scientific subjects, I've gone on to learn more things after that. And so some of my analogies don't necessarily always hold, but I'm always willing to learn and build and either deepen my understanding and the metaphor, or rewrite the metaphor in such a way that it actually works within the context of what I have there, okay? Again, I'm not the end-all be-all authority on anything here, okay? So when we're talking about the use of natural or just chemicals in general to affect the body in a certain way, okay, because that's effectively what medication is. Medication is the application of certain chemical compounds with the intended purpose of affecting a certain change in the body, some kind of effect that we're seeking to get, whether that be an antibiotic, which is intended to kill foreign bacteria within the body, or if we're looking at something like psychotropic medications that are intended to affect certain changes in the, you know, structure of the brain, the functioning of the brain, to correct some kind of error that may be going on where the brain just isn't clicking right, to the use of, you know, psychedelic drugs are in a similar category because you are looking to effect a certain change. So you see, the use of these chemical substances, whether it's a medication or a drug or an illicit drug or anything like that, is typically a matter of nomenclature. Again, the intended purpose, the why, is so important, as with many things. So as you go back and look at views of archheathens with regards to chemical substances, then you get to kind of broaden your view when you understand that we're not just looking for medication, we're not just looking for healing properties. That is one application. But if you look at views regarding other applications, then you will see that there are mentions of these things. There are mentions of herbs and whatnot as well, as far as herbs and healing and whatnot. And I say herbs in general, it's not just herbs, it's natural healing techniques. There's also magical healing techniques that are used. And of course, there's a lot of people that mention Lady Eir, who's one of Frigga's handmaidens, who's said to be over the realm of healing of doctors and of the sick and healing. And so there's a religious aspect, there's magical aspects, and there's, you know, the material aspects of, say, the herbs and salves and poultices and things that would have been used for healing purposes. A lot of these fall into the realm of folk medicine, folk magic. And so they don't make it into the sagas and the Eddas, because that's not the focus of those. The sagas are more about the interactions of people, and the Eddas are more about the interactions with the gods. Especially the gods amongst themselves and the world of the sacred and the profane. There's only a couple of mentions of humans even in the Eddas as far as those stories go. So, mostly with Askan Embla and Thjalfi and Roskva in those particular stories. So, when you're talking about these medications, when you're talking about these chemicals, you know, you do see mentions. That's where I was going before. You do see mentions of things like berserkers using mushrooms and other mind-altering chemicals in order to help reach that berserker state. This wasn't necessarily written in a negative connotation at the time. You didn't have the legality aspects referring to psychedelic drug use at the time. And then you also have things like the Merseburg Charm, which mention a number of chants and healing spells that go into specifically healing some very specific elements. If you haven't looked up the Merseburg Charms, I recommend giving it a look, especially if you're interested in kind of classical Archheathen healing techniques. But in reality, you're not going to find that in the sources. Not really. You're going to have to go digging through folk sources, because that's where things are going to be hidden. They're going to be hidden in folk tales and folk remedies. And a lot of it is going to be from post-conversion, because most of it wasn't written down before then. You have mention of Spekona, which were spell-casting women, Seidkona, which were divination women. You've got Seidmaldr, which is the male practitioners of Seidr, although that was seen as unmanly or ergi in that time. It was looked down upon, even in Loki's Flutting. Loki challenges Odin and attacks him for the use of his Seidr and his unmanly characteristics as a result of that. And so, there's some negative connotations in there, but mostly a lot of that was in the writing of those particular Eddas, and I believe a reflection of some specific views of the time in which they were written down, as opposed to necessarily the views beforehand. But again, without being able to go back and talk to Archheathens in those times, it's impossible for us to truly suss it out. We can make educated guesses, but it is what it is. So how does all of this, what I'm saying here is, you're not going to find it necessarily in the Eddas and sagas. You're going to have to look at folk magic remedies and things like that in order to find what they did. But how does that pertain to the modern day? I mean, what is the modern stance, the modern heathen, with relation to medications? Well, where I was going with all of that rambly bit in the beginning is that, to me, as with everything, the why is so important. The why is ultimately the key element to anything that we do. Why do we do it? Given the proper why, then we can figure out the how. Roughly speaking. But the why is important, because why do you need to use these things? Because you have something that can't be overcome without the use of them, or something that the use of this can be additive to the healing factor or the particular effect that you're trying to reach. You see a lot of those that do Seidr, or those that do some of the more ecstatic practices, use altered states of consciousness to reach their that mental plane necessary in order to connect and do the spiritual or divinatory work that they're trying to do. So when they utilize something that has an effect on the state of consciousness, the why is in order to facilitate the shift to the altered state of consciousness. Is it absolutely necessary? Well, that depends on the specific state of consciousness they're trying to reach, and their knowledge of other routes to reach said state of consciousness. It can be a faster route, can be kind of the easy way out, but it can also be in some ways the key to getting into that. I don't know specifically, because those aren't my areas of practice and expertise, so I can't speak too much on that. That's, again, a not my hell, not my call kind of thing. But my stance on science and heathenry goes right along with this whole why thing, because science is a method that the gods have given us in order to build an understanding of the world around us. And it's not even necessarily that the gods gave us science. They gave us the willpower, the free thought, the free will to figure things out. They gave us that divine spark of inspiration and madness that makes us look at something and go, why or how? That spark of creativity that allows us to look at something and turn it into something else. That's the key gift from the gods, as far as that little touch of sacredness that's given to each of us. And so science is a method that we have come up with over generations to help understand the building blocks of the world around us, and to turn some of those things from legend and magic into techniques that we can do on the regular, reproduction of technique and an understanding of the basic blocks. Science and magic actually approach things in a lot of the same ways, as far as experimentation, replication, things like that. There's just a difference in what they will accept as evidence and an approach to assumptions that are made. Those that are in science fields know what I mean when I'm talking about assumptions with relation to these things. There's a lot of things in magic that are based on assumption, and science specifically shies away from assumption. Occam's razor is the answer that has the fewest assumptions is most likely the right one. So that's a very complicated thing in a very simple sentence, but essentially the fewer things you take for granted, the fewer things that you just assume are true, the better for science. But that's not necessarily true for magic in the way it approaches things. So that's a thing to take into account. Now, when it comes to medication is a branch of science. So was herbalism and alchemy in the olden days. This was an approach to an understanding of the natural order of things, the natural building blocks of the world around us, and how those things can be used to reach certain effects. I mean, the why was still the same. What we have today with regards to medications is an outgrowth of this philosophy and viewpoint and approach from the olden days. It's a transition of things from magical thinking into science. It is a progression of, okay, well, we used these leaves and these poultices and these things. Well, why did that work? Why did that do the thing? And science can't necessarily measure some of the spiritual aspects of things, but they can figure out some of the chemical aspects of things. And while spiritual is important, it's not the only part, because you are talking about the lich, you're talking about the body in a lot of these things, and utilizing both is frequently necessary in order to effect the change that you want to effect. So the why is important here. Medications in large are exactly what alchemists and herbalists were doing back in the day. They're utilizing the basic building structures that they have, and they are recombining them in a form to be more potent and more effective towards a specific goal. So medications that are designed around antibiotics or antiseptics or anything like that are very similar to plants that we used to use back in the arch-heathen days specifically for those purposes. You know, painkiller drugs, I mean, you're talking about people that used to chew on cocoa leaves, which, you know, you're talking about cocaine at that point. And then the use of those things for numbing purposes. Cocaine tablets used to be sold over the counter as an analgesic, specifically for tooth pain, because tooth pain is a very difficult thing to kill. But that numbing effect plus the overall analgesic effect of cocaine, it was marketable and it did the thing until it was, you know, phased out and outlawed and everything. So this is a progression of things forward. Now, is it always on the up and up? No. I mean, if you look at Big Pharma, a lot of what they do is try and rotate drugs through R&D so that what is out there is, it is just different enough that they can repatent it and then sell it at a new drug price as opposed to an old drug price. Especially when something goes into the realm of the generic. You know, when a drug passes from a brand name into generic, then frequently the costs on it go way down and they're a business, so they're trying to sell top dollar. And so they will keep things designer as long as they can, and then shift things ever so slightly to keep them designer. So my stance on heathenry and medications is that medication is an outgrowth. I know it's rambling along, but we're getting there, I promise. Medication is an outgrowth of these old traditions, of these old practices through science, through our understanding of bringing the magical into a reproduced form that we can rely on, that we can mass produce, and so have these effects. And so not only that, but create more potent versions of them by getting down to the key elements from a physical material aspect of what these did. You know, it doesn't bring into account the spiritual side of things, so it loses some of that efficacy, but it gains in the efficacy of the physical body. So medications in relation to the lich are a valid tool that has been used for generations. It's just we've ground them down and put them in a pill form, which olden traditions did. Chinese had pills for a long time. They didn't always look like they do now. Frequently they were in like little food pill kind of things, but it was still, you know, ground down and put into a consumable form that would pack more punch than trying to eat, you know, 10 pounds of this particular leaf in order to get the specific result that you're looking for. So we use these extracts, these decoctions, these suspensions, all of these things that we have learned over the years to get the best effect out of the natural elements, and we break those down to their base chemical form, and then we learn that we can reproduce those base chemical forms in forms that are less costly to produce, that are easier to produce on a large scale. And then you get into chemical reproduction and combination that ultimately leads to medications as we know it, looking the way they do, as opposed to being a simple, you know, food pill that may have taken, you know, 3 or 4 days to develop. So with the population of the world today, I get it. Yeah, you're missing some stuff as far as the spiritual side of things go. So if you're utilizing medications for a specific purpose, augmenting with spiritual practices is probably the best route to go. Because again, the hashtag happy, healthy, whole heathen, you cannot just treat the body without also treating the spirit, the mind. It's a whole approach, the holistic approach, if you will. The idea is you treat the entire being and not just the specific. Medications are an extremely effective tool, but they are just that. They are a tool. And so I'm very pro medications in the appropriate setting, because like I have just spent the last 30 minutes describing, there is context for their use, because it's a cultural thing. It's a natural development and growth, which heathens throughout the generations have shown a willingness to adopt modern technologies and adapt to their settings. I mean, they were consummate shipbuilders during the Viking era, and they were artisans, they were craftsmen, they had no problem adopting technology. That was, and that's across the multiple cultures. There seemed to be a love of technological advancement, so much so that they would jack it from other countries when they would come through on trade routes and everything. And so we find weird things from other parts of the world in Scandinavia, because, you know, it was cool. They brought it home. It was neat. So they learned from these things. They did. They were, you know, just like any human beings, very intelligent. And so medications are a tool. Medications are a tool. The why is important. So what is my approach to medication in the modern era is the why. The why. Why do you need the medication specifically? What is it supposed to do? You know, why do you need this effect? And you're talking about mental health, you're talking about psychotropic medications. If you're talking about SSRIs, which are serotonin-specific reuptake inhibitors, you're talking about something that specifically rebalances the serotonin in the brain in order to create more serotonin in the brain. What a serotonin-specific reuptake inhibitor does is that it blocks the reuptake mechanisms within the brain that come through, and I'm trying to keep this into, you know, more generic terms than the whole psychobabble side of things, but serotonin is released in the brain. There are mechanisms in the brain to deal with excess levels of serotonin, and they are absorbed. They're, you know, taken back up. Reuptake. And by taking an SSRI, what you do is you inhibit that reuptake and it leaves more of the serotonin in the system, therefore bringing up the serotonin levels, which depression shows a drop in serotonin levels. So by blocking the reuptake inhibitor, what you do is you bring those serotonin levels up and it helps to stabilize the mood to a certain extent. Other drugs will attack like the dopamine centers in the brain or affect the dopamine centers of the brain. Dopamine is a tricky neurotransmitter to work with because it is the key to pleasure and the experience of the pleasure, dealing with the nucleus accumbens and whatnot. And it is also one of the key neurotransmitters involved with addiction. you're dealing with opioids. Opioids are actually brought from the opium plant, and it is a distillation and purification process over generations where they have learned to make that base plant of opium into this super, super effective, super concentrated chemical that has specific effects. It is, you know, frequently used in an analgesic effect as far as the pain relief aspect of things, but it can have very addicting effects. That's where we get into the issue here, is because, you know, in the olden days, you're dealing with not very potent versions of these chemicals. And in modern era, these are very potent versions of these chemicals. These are, you know, heavy hitters. These are weapons of mass destruction when it comes to, you know, the metaphor. You know, you've got somebody who comes to the battle with a knife, and then somebody who comes in with a bazooka. You've got two very different levels here. And that's what we're looking at with modern medications, is it's an upped game. And so that comes with a lot of care and a lot of very involved conversations with the doctor in order to keep things right. I've worked in the field long enough to know that medications are extremely helpful for those people that do need them. Those that are dealing with either, depression, bipolar disorder. If you look at seizure medications and anti-seizure medications, which do have an effect on the brain, therefore can be in the realm of psychotropic medications. These are necessary to keep people from seizing up. You know, it interrupts some of that stuff that's going on in the brain, helps to level things out so that it doesn't cause a seizure. It doesn't cause the gears to go grinding to a halt and then the entire machine messing up. So utilizing these things to help manage the machine that is the lich, the body, is one part of the process. You know, when you're dealing with mental health specifically, medications are extremely effective if they're appropriate. They're not always appropriate. Sometimes, like with depression, situational depression does not necessarily require a medication. Sometimes depression can be managed through diet and exercise, proper social interaction, proper social structure, a support network that's there to be able to help you through. Just talk therapy can help with a great deal of it to correct thought errors and help to kind of learn proper coping skills that help you to better balance things out. Now, a lot of people will kind of look down on therapy, especially in the modern era. I think there's a push here lately to try and kind of change the narrative on that. But there's a lot of stigma that goes along with it, because therapy is a soft science. Psychology itself is a soft science. It's not something that's got really, like, you can't look at it and say, okay, well, you know, here's a pill that has an immediate effect. You know, medication, psychiatry element of things has an immediate and measurable effect. Psychology is a long game. It is definitely magic in a lot of the ways that we do, because psychology and the therapy element is more along the lines of treating the spirit than it is treating the body. It's more on the spiritual side of things. So it is that kind of weird blending of the two, because you're dealing with the ephemeral, you're dealing with the unseen, and you're helping people to utilize what they have there to better manage the stressors that they have going on in their lives, or to help process through trauma, which is a heavy focus in a lot of therapy these days, especially with trauma-informed care being the current buzzword within the psych world. So you've got, you know, the medication coupled with the therapy elements, and that's a key thing that we always push in the field, but people don't take to heart. People want a quick fix. They want the medication. They want to be able to take a pill and then go home and feel fine and not have to deal with therapy. And that's the problem, is they're running away from dealing with their stuff. They're using the medication to either numb it or to run away from it, or, you know, whatever, in order to not have to actually deal with the key issues at play. SSRIs are meant to be short-term use. They are not meant to be long-term medications. SSRIs have diminishing results over time. They're not intended to be year upon year upon year use. They don't function like that. They're intended to be used for like 6 months to a year kind of thing, a shorter term basis. The idea is that you utilize the SSRI to help right the serotonin levels, and then you utilize other aspects, such as exercise and all those other things that we were talking about before, to help get the body acclimated to it and to learn to do things that naturally up the serotonin levels, which running, exercising in general is a great boost to the serotonin levels, which is why a lot of times runners will get that high. It's a serotonin boost and dopamine boost that they get from running. There's this certain point where things just kind of amp up in production and they get that high. And so they crave it and they actually become addicted to running and exercising. Could be worse things to be addicted to, but it can be debilitating, and it can be an issue. I've known people that have been so addicted to exercising they were actually doing themselves harm because they were chasing the high. Balance, in all things balance. One of the things that we get from the Havamal is moderation in all things, and that's a key thing that you've got to keep in mind as we're going forward too. It's good advice. You know, regardless of where the Havamal originally came from, it's just good advice. Moderation in all things. Now, I'm starting to ramble again because this is a wide field. This is a big thing to discuss, and this video is going to be a bit longer, and I expect that people are going to go a couple of different ways on the watching of it. But yes, I am an advocate for the use of medications, especially when coupled with therapy, as long as we're talking about the psychotropic side of things. When you're talking about, like, you wouldn't deny somebody their diabetes medication, you wouldn't deny somebody their heart medication that they need to continue to live. Now, there is an interpersonal aspect of things wherein like within the self, in dealing with the blow to the pride when it comes to dependence upon a medication. And that's a psychological hurdle that an individual has to overcome, and I highly recommend the use of therapy and talking through those things. But ultimately, that's something that you just have to kind of work through for yourself. It's a thing. Now, like I said before, these are very potent versions of these chemicals. So while I am a proponent for the use of these medications, especially when it comes to things like psychotropics, you have to educate yourself. Yes, the doctor is very educated in how they approach the medications and in the neurochemical aspects that are going on, etc., 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 but they are not with you 24/7, and they're looking for key terms when they're dealing with side effects and things like that, and to try to figure out the balance. The only thing they have is you as the patient telling them what effects you're seeing. Now, in some of these medications, they'll look at blood levels and try to get things at a therapeutic level. There's a specific level that it has to be at in the blood in order to be therapeutic. And so if it's below that, it's ineffective. If it's over that, it can actually have some toxicity elements to it. So they try to balance that. If anybody's played The Witcher, it's kind of like trying to balance your toxicity with your potions and stuff. It's the same kind of thing. You can go up to a certain point in using these potions, but after that, if you go too high, you start taking damage. It's the same kind of thing here. If you get beyond that therapeutic level with the medications, then what you end up in is a toxicity level, and it can have very detrimental effects. So it's important that if you are on these medications that require that blood work, that you keep up with that blood work, because they can be essential in managing what's going on. But you have to educate yourself on the intended use of the medication, the possible side effects of the medication, and the why of everything. Why do you need this? Why do you want this? Why do you need this? And a lot of times people don't like being told that they need this. So the challenge then becomes for you to understand why you need this and to make the decision to use the medication your own, as opposed to the doctor telling. Because the doctor can't force you to take anything, and they're not going to. A good doctor is going to talk to you about the options, the side effects, and let you make the decision on whether or not you want to take this medication, because ultimately it is going to be your decision whether or not you take this medication. No medication is effective unless it's used as prescribed, because, you know, a lot of times, like with SSRIs, it takes like 2 weeks for it to build up in the system to a therapeutic level, and then after that it has to be managed. And if you skip a day, it can really mess things up. If you skip a couple of days, it can really mess things up. Now, there's some drugs like ADHD drugs that are short term in the system, and so they're not going to have, like, skipping a day isn't necessarily going to be a shock to the system, but some of these drugs can have lasting effects if you drop down too low too quickly. because this system is a fragile thing, which is why you need a professional who is trained in managing these things in order to be able to help you manage the system and keep things in line. You know, you may do some shade tree mechanic stuff, but if you've got a race car out there and you want that thing to run properly and not blow up on you, you're probably not going to do your own mechanic work. You're probably going to hire somebody that is what they do. And that's what we're talking about here. You know, you may be able to swap out a hard drive or something, but when it comes to building an entire network of systems, you're probably going to want to go with a professional specifically trained in this area. And that's all we're talking about here with doctors, is individuals specifically trained for a skill and highly educated in their skill. Now, again, they are not with you all the time. They don't have all of the answers, and not all doctors are good. That is something that is... There are doctors that go out there for the money. There are doctors that have God complexes. There are doctors that spend 5 minutes with you in there and then want to write you a script and make you go away because, you know, the McDoctor's office, the McQuack in the box, that's kind of a lot of what it's built around. So the trick is finding a good doctor. Do not be afraid to be demanding of your doctor. Do not be afraid to shop for a good doctor. You're talking about someone whom you are hiring to help with the maintenance of this particular aspect of your body, whether that be medical, psychotropic, whatever. Be exacting. As I've said before in this podcast, in this show, judgment is your responsibility. And this is another case where judgment is extremely important. You need to judge your doctor appropriately. Otherwise, you're being negligent in your own care. So judge them. Judge them harshly in some instances, but also slow down and remember they do know more about this than you do. So try to engage them in conversation. Try to get them to talk. Find you one that will tell you what's going on and the why and what a drug does, but also go out and do your own education on the specifics of the drug. Now keep in mind, interactions, you know, you can't learn off of Wikipedia or WebMD what it took them years in med school to learn. They do know a lot more about this than you're going to, but you do need to understand the general scope of SSRIs and of, you know, what these different drugs do. If you're looking at some specific things, you need to learn more about the disorder with which you are diagnosed so that you can better understand things. I highly recommend educating yourself, but also don't get haughty with the doctor. Don't come in thinking that you know more about the disorder than they do because you read 6 different blogs and they all said this. This guy went to medical school, and so he's got a deeper understanding and understands, and he can list off parts of the brain that are involved in this subject that you may not even know the names of or that they exist. And so, you know, don't overshoot. They are the trained professional, and that is why you are bringing them in. But do exercise your judgment. You want somebody that you feel like you can talk to, that you can be honest about side effects, and that is going to be willing to experiment with you. And this comes to another problem that a lot of people have with modern medication, is that they feel like a guinea pig. Well, guess what, folks? You kind of are. Because no two brains are the same. No two brains are going to respond exactly the same way. No two people's systems are going to interact the exact same way. You may have other things going on that are contraindicated with the use of whatever medication it is, and therefore you may have some hiccups and you may not respond to this medication in the way that some others do. You may have a high threshold for certain medications, and the dosages in order to have a therapeutic effect for you may be too high, and therefore they need to look at something else because that's dancing too close to toxicity levels. They may be dealing with medications that you feel are very, very effective in treating whatever you have going on, but they may have some significant debilitating effects in toxicity level. They may have addictive effects that the doctor is not willing to deal with, because a lot of like the painkillers, the high-end like barbiturates and opioids, they're going to try and hold off for late life stuff because they do have diminishing results. And so if you overuse them early on, then later on in life they don't have the effect, and you probably need them more then. You also run the risk of addiction to medical opioids and things like that, which is a big thing, especially in the modern era, which is why a lot of doctors are trying to get away from the use of narcotics, is because they're trying to pull away from those addictive substances. That means that you're dealing with painkillers that are probably less effective, but they're also less dangerous. So it's a give and take kind of thing. Now, again, politics play a huge role in the world of medicine, so that's always a thing. Insurance is its own thing, and don't get me started. But educating yourself on the drugs can sometimes help you discover that there are generic versions of those drugs, and they are frequently just as effective. Not always, not always. Sometimes the base chemical compound and the brand name compound, there's a little tweak there that makes it more effective, but frequently generics are just as good as the brand name because it's the base element of what's going on. You may lack a couple of the things that make it uniquely that drug, but the key element, the effective, the active drug element is right there and on par. So it's modern alchemy, it's modern herbalism that has been taken to the umpteenth level. Now, I am still a big proponent for, you know, using it in moderation and using it at the right time. I do think that use of holistic, like naturopathy kind of things, very effective. And if you can treat something with that without having to go with the big weapon of mass destruction, as it were, then it's probably better. Because, you know, if it's something that's a milder effect that you can treat through more holistic means and still have the desired effect, then cool. Good on you. That's probably the better thing. Go with the path that is less risky and less damaging overall. Toe in with that sometimes, and then, you know, step up to the medications as a whole. But you're not going to want to treat cancer with crystals. You're going to want to treat cancer with cancer drugs. And you're going to probably want to use both to hit it with everything that you've got. You know, but you're not going to go in and use high-end medications to cure the common cold. You're probably going to use chicken soup. That's old school folk remedy. You know, that's exactly what's going on here. And what you're effectively doing is feeding the body with liquids, protein, and sleep. So that's the mystery of chicken soup. Why is chicken soup the, you know, the killer of the common cold? Is because it is forcing liquids down the body with protein content and encouraging sleep. So that's boom. All you're doing is boosting your natural immune system to overcome it. The why is important. There is no end-all be-all word on medications because no two diseases, no two scenarios are the same. Some people need medications. Some people don't need medications. What they need is another intervention that is less invasive and less damaging to the body as a whole. I cannot tell you what your scenario is. You have to talk that out with a doctor, and probably multiple. And keep in mind that doctors deal in drugs. That's what they do. They don't deal in therapy. They don't deal in, like, if you go to see a psychiatrist, they're not going to be the one to do therapy with you. They're going to come in and ask you about the effect of the drug and whether or not the drug is working and doing what it's supposed to do. You need to hire a therapist to do the therapy side of things. You need to educate yourself on coping mechanisms that you can use outside of that to affect these things. And then once you get a routine up that should be helping you manage that and you're in a good spot, then you need to replicate that, make it habit, make it the new lifestyle, and talk to the doctor about coming down off the drugs. The drugs are they're not meant to be a crutch forever. I mean, you wouldn't use a crutch for the rest of your life. You would use it while the ankle is sprained, and then when you can walk again, you toss the crutch to the side. That's effectively what it is. Medications are a crutch in this instance. They're a support system to take the heat off of an injury or illness, and at least when it comes to like psychotropics. Now, there's some things that are lifelong medications. There are certain things like antipsychotics you're probably going to be on for the remainder of your life, because otherwise the absence of the psychotropic medication can cause a recurrence of the symptomology of the psychosis. And so some of these are long-term drugs. Some of them are meant to be that way, but things like, you know, antidepressants largely are meant to be short-term use because there are other things that you can do to kind of fix that situation. Not always. Sometimes you do end up on long-term maintenance psychotropics. Sometimes you end up on long-term maintenance antidepressants. It happens, but you need to educate yourself and you need to be involved and an activist in your medical health if you want this to be effective. Now, You notice a lot of this doesn't have anything to do with, you know, a heathen's approach, because it's not a heathenry thing. I mean, heathenry, as far as I'm concerned, there is nothing in heathenry that says, don't use medications, only rely on the strength of your body and blah, blah, blah. You are relying on the strength of your body when you're dealing with medications. You're also relying on the strength of your brain and your wisdom and your ability to do these things, because that is a... that's a gift the gods gave you. And so, yes, absolutely. I mean, the gods didn't grant us a ladder that lets us get up on top of the roof, but we did build one. You know, they gave us everything else in the world that we needed to figure it out, and we did it, and we built it, and we created it. Same things with medications. We built it, we created it. It's effective, it's a thing. People get stupid about it, but that's another thing. But as far as, you know, your question, Kevin, yeah, absolutely. Now, a lot of people will complain about being numbed by medication. I'm going to tell you right now, what you're experiencing there is probably either a short-term effect that will pass with time, or you are experiencing a possible side effect of the medication, at which point, if that is something that is a foggy feeling, a groggy feeling, a numbness that is not the desired effect, then the why is not being met. You know, the why are you taking this medication? Because you want to feel more normal. You want to feel more stable. You want to be able to manage this so that you can affect the changes in your life necessary to no longer need the medication. So short-term numbing may be appropriate if you are doing other things to up the serotonin levels and the norepinephrine levels and all that to help kind of level things out. But if you're not doing those things and you're only relying on the medication, then you're probably not going to have the desired effect, and you will end up on the medication ad infinitum, simply because you're not doing anything to get off of it. That's a thing. And then, of course, some people don't react to medications the same way. So it's important to tell the doctor when you are experiencing these things and be as descriptive as you can, because there's keywords they're going to be looking for. You know, they don't want to numb you with the medication. A good doctor doesn't. They want you to achieve a happy whole life. That's what the whole point is. Ostensibly, that's why they got into medication. It's provided you're not going to the doctor that got into medication because he likes Audis. There are those. They're fewer and further between. A vast majority of doctors got into medicine for the right reasons. So don't automatically think that, you know, your doctor's out to bilk you for money. Probably out to bilk your insurance company for money. But, you know, they're going to treat you for what you've got and try to be as appropriate as they can be based on their education and the current research regarding whatever your particular diagnosis is. So, heathenry and medications, there's nothing in heathenry that says no to medications. As a matter of fact, everything that I've seen in heathenry is yes to medications, but be smart about it. That is the thing that comes down to it. You know, we are our deeds. Don't be totally reliant on the medication. Do the other things you need to in order to help augment the effect, or to ultimately get yourself off of it so that you don't need it anymore. And again, that's only in specific scenarios. I mean, if you're a diabetic, you're probably not coming off of your insulin in a lifetime. Depending on the type of diabetic you are, there are diabetics that come off their insulin because they manage through diet and everything else and then no longer need it, or at least they taper off the use of it to such an extent that it's negligible at that point. I've seen it happen. Pre-diabetics that have kind of righted things so that they don't become full-blown diabetics. There's no one catch-all thing, which is why this video is so long, is because it's way and all over the place. But when you ask about medications, I can't just talk about, you know, like antidepressants. I can't just talk about anxiolytics. I can't just talk about SSRIs or barbiturates or NSAIDs. I've got to talk about kind of the whole spectrum of things, because the modern alchemy element encompasses all of that. It's all part and parcel. So, and of course, modern alchemy goes into more than just the medications. That goes into a great deal of our sciences and everything, the harnessing of electricity for a computer and the technological advances in there. Yeah, there's some alchemical elements that are going along in there. The use of precious metals in order to affect a specific thing. They're all interrelated, you know. We can call it one thing, but it's all interrelated and it's all part of the whole deal. So, heathenry and medications. Medications are a go. Be smart about it. Be educated about it. Take the time to do the research. I mean, this is about you. It's worth it. So do that. Take medications as prescribed. Otherwise, you don't know whether or not the effect is what you want, what you need. Now, I mean, obviously, if you step in and you take a medication and you get a like splitting migraine or you end up in the ER because of side effects for it that night, stop it immediately. You know, if you take a medication and your airways start to close up, you are allergic to that medication, don't take it. Call the doctor immediately and follow first aid and all that other stuff and, you know, seek medical attention immediately. And then shift to something else, because like I said before, you are a guinea pig in this, because they have to take the time and experiment to figure out what works on you. They're not going to know right off the bat. There's not some index in their medical book that says, oh yeah, this is how you treat Jimmy John. This is his thing, you know. This is how you treat Bjorn. He needs this. No, they know that Bjorn walks in and he's got these symptoms that most closely fit these diagnoses, and typically we treat these diagnoses with these particular methods, and we're going to try this method. Oh, nope, that doesn't work. Okay, let's try this method. Nope, that doesn't work. I got an idea. Let's try this method down here. That's like six down the line, and all of a sudden, boom, it works for Bjorn. Bjorn's good, and Bjorn's like there, and they're like, all right, cool, we've got this. You know, yeah, we had two misses, but that third one was a hit, because They're making educated guesses. They really are. Sometimes it'll seem like your doctor doesn't know anything. They do, or they wouldn't have gotten their medical degree. But they do take their time to experiment and get there. And good ones are actually experimenting. They're administering, and they are observing the outcomes and then making adjustments or changes completely based on the outcomes that they see there. Sometimes it takes a little while to see whether or not a medication is going to work. Like I said, SSRIs take 2 weeks to get up and effective in the system. So you may be on a medication for 3 months and then go back to the doctor and be like, I don't think this one's working. Okay, well, why don't you think this one is working? They're not challenging you to say, you know, you don't know anything. Of course the medication's working. You're the problem. You're not doing it right. What they're asking specifically is, what are you seeing? What symptomology are you seeing that is telling you that this isn't working? And if you know this isn't working, then you know why. Take the time and figure it out. It's cool. Go in and tell them it's because I'm moodier at this point in time, or I'm super groggy all the time, and I'm it's functioning in a way that I'm not enjoying my life. I need to change it in such a way that I am enjoying my life. What can I do? Can we shift medications? Can we shift dosages? Can we, you know, what outside sources can I seek that might help me to, you know, raise the serotonin levels or whatnot so that I don't feel so groggy all the time? What can we do? And if you get a doctor that just wants to throw medication after medication after medication, and you get like a laundry list of medications on there, you're probably not with the right doctor. Most doctors want to get you down to the minimal number of medications possible. They want to take you off what you don't need, put you on what you do need, find the medication that covers the most bases with the lowest risk, and then take you off of unnecessary things, because the more medications you have, the more at risk you are of medication interactions. So this has been a really long video. I'm sorry, guys. I know I ramble, but you know, I needed to set the context for my answer and then discuss, you know, kind of my stance on heathenry and medication, and then just plain out education on medication, how it works and why it works, etc., etc., etc. There's tons of stuff out there you can look at, guys, that will give you a rundown on medications, how they work, why they work, what they affect. You know, there's free trainings out there that you can get from different sites on psychotropic medications. I highly recommend, if you can, take the time to go out and, you know, hit an internet link that's from a reputable source on psychotropic medications and learn a little bit, or on the specific medications that are in your area. Just remember, you are an amateur in a world in which they are a professional. So approach that appropriately and understand that they have, yeah, you may know the general basics and some of the words at play and some of the overall relationships of things. You may be very well educated, but they are very well educated on it. So you need to learn enough to do a dialogue and then have them teach you about your specific scenario and your specific medications. That's that's what it is. You need to be in a teaching relationship with your doctor. That can take some time to find one that is there, but you have to be engaged too. You can't just go in and say, hey doc, this is what's wrong with me. Expect them to give you a super pill and then go home and everything be fine. It doesn't work that way. You have to be involved in your treatment. You have to give them feedback. You are the reporter. You have to be accurate. You have to be on point, and you've got to give them the details that they need and be honest. Honest with yourself and honest with them. A lot of people will lie to themselves about the efficacy of a medication because they just don't want to be on medications because their pride is too hurt that they're dependent upon a medication. And that's a personal problem you just got to get over. If you want this to be effective, then do it. Then go in and talk to them and give them all the information. Be involved, be an advocate, be vocal, be verbal. Tell them everything. Don't omit things that you think aren't relevant to the situation. You need to give them the full rundown of everything because life traumas or past medication issues that you've had or past life events that may have had an effect on things, different feelings, emotions, physical issues that you may have going on can be factors that may click everything into place and tell them, oh, we've been going at this wrong the whole time. Here's the way we need to go. You may be omitting something that you think is trivial from this scenario, but it may be actually extremely important to the overall treatment. And it depends on the doctor. Like I said, there are putzes out there that go through, do what they need to do to get their doctorate, and then they're out trying to make the money. That's that they got into it because mama told them this is what they needed to do to make the money. But a vast majority got into it because they're healers and it's what they do. They feel a calling to it. Because let me tell you, there are easier ways to make a living. Not necessarily to make quite the living that they do, but you got to put in a lot of work. So it's not like it's easy to just step up and be like, I'm a doctor, give me my Audi. There's a lot of schooling that goes into it. So a lot of those guys go off and be like, all right, I'm going to start my own business and I'm going to do some tech venture and make it rich this way. But there are doctors out there with God complexes. There are doctors out there who are only in it for the money. So it's up to you to kind of suss that out. And I wish there was a quick and easy way that I could tell you to find that out, but it's experimentation. And then there's limitations based on your insurance, based on groups, based on, you know, your area, all this stuff, income levels. There's all kinds of stuff that goes into it, guys. I get it. It's not an easy thing. It is not a simple thing. And it is not something that can be boiled down to an hour-long video, which is what this has turned into, an hour and change. This is ridiculous. So I'm going to sign off, guys. Kevin, thank you for the question. I appreciate it, man. I hope this hit some of the points for you. Yes, I am in favor of modern alchemy, of medication. I am an advocate for you to be educated in your own scenario, your own medications, your own body. Be honest with the professional that you are hiring to provide the service for you, because that's all you're doing is you're hiring them to provide a service so that they can most effectively offer that service. But all of the decisions lie with you. It's all about your will and what you choose to do in this scenario. Do keep in mind there are outside avenues that you can go to reach some of the effects that you want to. I highly recommend a balance of the two because that's how it's intended to work in the first place. So, if it's appropriate, don't go on medications you don't need to be on, but listen to the doctor because you probably need to be on it if they're talking about prescribing it to you. But again, a good doctor will listen to you. And if they say, we could offer you this, you know, that would have this effect, they're pitching an idea. It's up to you then to go, I want to do this without medication. If there's a way that we can, is there a resource that I can go to that we don't need this? Or is there a less invasive method? Is there a method that has fewer side effects? What can you tell me about this medication and its side effects? How can you educate me on this? If the doctor's more interested in writing you a prescription and getting you out the door than sitting down there and have a conversation with you, you may need to look at a different doctor. It just depends. So anyway, guys, I hope this helped a little bit. This is real rambly. I don't expect people to make it all the way through. If you made it all the way through to this point, give me a shout out in the comments because that's mad props to you for riding this train this long. It's a long video. Mad respect to you guys. Thank you all. Hail to you. May your hearth fires burn bright.